Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dry Bones Ministries special podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter, and today is day 12. So grateful to be with you. We're in week two, Discovering the Little Way by St. Therese. And yesterday we were fresh off of day 11, which always comes before day 12, where we were striving to trust in our littleness, to keep trying to grow in holiness, and continuing to trust in God's mercy. And so today we'll focus on becoming a saint, even a great saint. Let's pray, asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds and hearts as we continue on this journey. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 12. You will become a saint. If you truly live the little way, if you recognize the darkness of your littleness, keep trying to grow in holiness, and trust in the Lord's promise of mercy, then you will become a saint. It's that simple. And if you're very little and your trust is great, then you may even become a great saint. What? Before we get to that, here's something that may be even more shocking. As Saint Therese was dying, because she believed what she taught, because she believed that she would be a great saint, she herself collected the clippings of her nails and invited her sister Pauline, Mother Agnes, to take them, presumably to be used as relics. Also, she encouraged the other sisters to keep the rose petals that had touched her crucifix, saying, "They will help you perform favors later on. Don't lose one of them." What? Did the mortal sickness that devoured Therese's poor lungs also affect her brain? No. Therese was completely sane, and her words are actually consistent with the doctrine of the little way. It's like this. According to traditional Catholic spiritual wisdom, to think you will be a great saint is basically to disqualify yourself from becoming one. After all, to think such a thing, not to mention collecting relics of yourself, is certainly pride, right? Well, not in Therese's case. The reason has to do with her revolutionary approach to two virtues, magnanimity and humility. The word magnanimity comes from the Latin words magnus, meaning great, and animus, meaning soul. So it's a kind of great souledness that moves a person to aim high in the spiritual life. For instance, it was because of her extraordinary magnanimity that Saint Therese once said, "I would so much like to love God, to love him more than he has ever been loved." And such magnanimity is a good thing. Still, having said that, traditional Catholic spiritual wisdom teaches that the virtue of humility is supposed to keep magnanimity in check. It's supposed to pull back great desires for holiness, like reining in a horse. For instance, the virtue of humility would respond to Therese's magnanimous statement about wanting to love God more than he's ever been loved before with something like this. Quote, "Come on, don't say that. Be a little more humble and realistic. I mean, look at who you are. Frankly, you're a very broken little girl. So why not just aim to be a little saint who simply makes it into heaven without spending time in purgatory? Isn't that enough for you?" given how weak and little you are? Why don't you just leave great holiness to the great souls? End quote. That's certainly reasonable, but Thérèse would have none of it. She didn't believe that humility's role is to rein in the horses of her great desires for holiness. On the contrary, she saw humility as being what smacks magnanimity's horse in the rear, sending them racing to the moon. In other words, it's not in spite of humility, but rather because of humility, that she believed she could become one of the greatest of saints. And this firm belief stemmed from her insight into God's amazing mercy. Remember that God's merciful love is like water. It rushes to the lowest place. And Thérèse knew this. Therefore, she saw her humility, that is her awareness of her littleness, as her greatest treasure. Why? Because she knew it was her littleness that attracted God's merciful love. And because she was so little and trusted completely in divine mercy, she believed that God's mercy would surely rush to the lowest place, her little soul, and fill it to overflowing. Wonderful. Good for Thérèse. But what does all this have to do with becoming a great saint? Well, everything. Why? Because what is holiness but the merciful love of God poured into our hearts? See Romans 5:5. For Thérèse, that is the true and greatest holiness. Moreover, such holiness is not a human work, but rather God's work, a work of divine mercy, rushing down to the lowest place. And because Thérèse believed she was the littlest soul, she therefore believed she could become one of the greatest of saints. In fact, she even told the Lord, quote, "Here on earth, I cannot conceive of a greater immensity of love than the one which it has pleased you to give to me freely, without any merit of my part." End quote. Actually, come to think of it, she did have one merit, her trust. After all, it's trust that opens the floodgates of God's mercy, allowing it to come rushing down, down into little souls. What a revolution in Catholic spiritual theology. Thérèse believed that she was the weakest and littlest of souls, humility, and therefore she felt confident of becoming one of the greatest of saints, magnanimity. So her humility didn't rein in her desires for holiness. Rather, it sent them racing to the heights. Better yet, it brought her down low, deep down low, into a hollow abyss that a superabundance of divine mercy could rush down into. That is literally the deepest holiness, and it's not pride to hope for it. Rather, it's humility. And such hope is what Thérèse wants every little soul to experience. Quote, "O Jesus, why can't I tell all little souls how unspeakable is your condescension? I feel that if you found a soul weaker and littler than mine, which is impossible, you would be pleased to grant it still greater favors, provided it abandoned itself with total confidence to your infinite mercy. I beg you to cast your divine glance upon a great number of little souls. I beg you to choose a legion of little victims worthy of your love." End quote. So in view of St. Thérèse's prayer for little souls, I repeat, if you live the little way, that is, if you recognize the darkness of your littleness, keep trying to grow in holiness, and trust in the Lord's promise of mercy, you will become a saint. It's that simple. And if you're very little and your trust is great, you may even become a great saint, like St. Thérèse. Just please don't keep your nail clippings. Today's prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, though weak, broken, and sinful, help me to trust that I can become a great saint through the amazing power of divine mercy. All right. What do you think about becoming a great saint? If we recognize our littleness and accept it and allow that merciful love to come flowing like water down to the depths where we can meet it in total abandonment, total littleness, total dependence. Let's start at the beginning, though, of this just really beautiful chapter to be able to unleash the direction of where this goes. First of all, yeah, what's your reaction to Saint Therese? Again, she's talked about all the time, and yet, did you know that she kept her nail clippings? Did you know that she asked her sisters to hold on to those rose petals that touched her crucifix on her deathbed? That can come off, right, to natural spiritual sensibilities as being like really conceited and self-assured. And it's a good thing for us to kind of consider. I know one of the things we kind of joked about in seminary and things like that is kind of the idea of writing a journal that we're writing for our own spiritual growth, but also just in case that we die and someone reads our journal, then they can know how really holy we are or something like that, that you would be writing it for someone else to find it and have such edification about. You know, and sometimes we kind of look at Therese that way too, of like, oh, here's her autobiography, and we're able to know just the depths of her holiness because she wrote this. And a reminder, she was commanded to write this by her biological sister, but also by her mother superior of the house. She did this out of holy obedience. And even this idea of keeping the nail clippings, when we really come to know the heart of Therese, it's not because she thought she was so great. It's because she knew with utter confidence the greatness of God and the promises that he has, right? Blessed are you who believe that the promises made you by the Lord would be fulfilled. That blessedness is that confidence, not in herself, but in God, that he has given me this promise, that to those who abandon themselves to his mercy will be raised up. He has come to lift up the lowly and cast down the mighty from their thrones. And so here she is, just living that out. And it seems completely paradoxical to our natural sensibilities. But maybe that's it. Maybe like the greatness of Therese is that she doesn't fit into the normal Catholic like saint box. And that, I hope, is why Therese is one of these like just favorite of saints, because she seems like she would be over here, this nice, cute little girl who really loved God and didn't do anything wrong. But meanwhile, she is fiercely confident in who the Lord has created her to be, and her abandonment to him is beautifully inspiring. These two souls, right? Magnanimity and humility. Magnanimity, great souledness. I think that's a much underrated virtue today. This idea of, well, think about Mary, right? My soul magnifies the Lord. So it's this overflowing, it's this expansion, it's this, I'm not operating out of insecurity or jealousy. I'm operating out of the greatness of God is so amazing that it can not only fill my soul, but it can even overflow into yours. And what I see in you can actually overflow into me. And so it's this ability to rejoice, to choose to build up and to affirm and to really recognize just the utter power of God and his grace and love and mercy. And so this magnanimity is, it's this expansion. It's this, he talks about it being that which allows the soul to aim high. And that is then coupled with humility. And I do like this twist on humility, that humility is often seen as keeping the greatness in check, to keep the aspirations from getting too high. Sometimes we joke about not wanting to have any expectations so we won't be disappointed, which is just horrible advice when it comes to the spiritual life. I like to say, have the highest of expectations, but no conditions, right? And so instead of having, not having high expectations so you won't be disappointed, Have the highest of expectations, but no conditions. Because the highest of expectations, when surrendered to the Lord, means that I allow the Lord to do whatever he wants in my life on his terms. Not according to the way that I expect it, or the way that I want it, or the way that I think that it needs to happen, and the timing that I desire it. It's all on his terms. And with that, we can have utter confidence and the highest of expectations, because he wants to do it. This is why he came. He came to the lowest place of our humanity, accepting it, taking it all into himself, so that he could raise us up to the heights of divine love, to partake in that ecstatic, infinite, eternal, self-offering love of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so humility actually brings us to spur on to the heights, because humility sees the truth of who we are and who God has created us to be. So it turns everything on its head. And I just think those are great things for us to really think and pray about. Are we magnanimous? Are our souls operating in this little way, out of an insecurity, out of a fear, out of a comparativeness or a competitiveness that what other people get, I don't get? Or is it in this greatness that just it desires and believes that God can fill it, will fill it, and then it can overflow? And also this humility that can actually spur it on to the greatest. Or do we still see humility as being, oh no, not little old me. Like I couldn't, no way would God want me. Like I'll just stay over here and nothing to see. Humility is being grounded in the truth of God's love and his promises. So Therese was able to have this humble and magnanimous soul because of her littleness. It's her littleness that gives God the greatest ability to come rushing down to the depths and to fill her up. I think about the littleness as being the vase, right? That her littleness is accepting that she needs to be completely empty, not filled with anything of the world, anything of her own abilities or strengths, and anything that she might have is still, in all littleness, an utter gift from God. And so it's her littleness that allows the mercy of God to come flowing down and to fill it to the greatest, greatest amount. Someone was mentioning the wedding feast at Cana to me recently, and just marveling that at the command of the Lord to fill the stone jars, that they filled them to the brim, right? These dirty stone jars that they have no idea what's going to happen, they filled them to the brim. Then this small act, they show great trust. And yeah, I think about that with this lesson and with Therese, that it's in the littleness that we just allow the Lord to be utterly generous and to empty our vessels to the full, to not leave any back doors, right? Any conditions or any, secondary backup plans. No backup plans. Completely reliant on him, such that when he works this miracle, there will be the greatest, greatest overflow of the best tasting wine that you have saved until now. Does that make sense? So the littleness that allows the greatness of God to fill us. Okay, that last quote on page 60, it's just another thing for us to really, really take in and soak in. That, oh Jesus, why can't I tell all little souls how unspeakable is your condescension, right? It's that God willing to go down to the depths, God willing to fill us completely, to completely transform us. I feel that if you found a soul weaker and littler than mine, which is impossible, I love that, which is impossible. There's no one else littler than me. If you could, then, but you can't. You would be pleased to grant it still greater favors, provided, this is the condition, right? Or the precondition. Provided it abandon itself with total confidence to your infinite mercy. I beg you to cast your divine glance upon a great number of little souls. I beg you to choose a legion of little souls worthy of your love. Okay. That is you. That is me. That's why we're on this journey. And that's where Therese speaks this word right to our hearts. So let's continue to pray with this idea, especially with these virtues of magnanimity, humility, and staying in our littleness, accepting it and continuing to strive to abandon ourselves completely, completely to God's infinite mercy. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, the weak, broken, and sinful, help me to trust that I can become a great saint through the amazing power of divine mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. Good to be with you. Day 12 is complete, and I look forward to being with you tomorrow. Please pray for me. I'm praying for you. Peace. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Dry Bones Ministries events and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.